This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Tom and Warren on Joy.
I know that we've all been watching the new groundbreaking bisexual plus reality dating show, The Bi Life, every Tuesday at 7 on E. And we're privileged to welcome on the phone the host extraordinaire of the show, Courtney Act. Good morning, Courtney.
Hi, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. We're so excited. Now, Courtney, before we talk about your fabulous new show, we all need to ask about Drag Race. You know, any other season, you would have walked away with that crown, sweetie. You were flawless, you were beautiful, you were on point. But I want to know why you've never returned for an All-Stars.
Oh, you know what? I love watching Drag Race so much. And I just figure I've entered three competition reality shows. I finally won one on Celebrity Big Brother. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead.
Courtney, we had Bianca Del Rio in, and we did the Rolodex of Hate, and she had nothing but lovely things to say about you.
No, oh, I love Bianca. I was just going to say the other day, actually, I have got a bag. I just moved apartment in LA. Well, I just moved from America to London, and I was packing up my apartment in LA, and I had a giant bottle of 99% alcohol and a giant bottle of spirit gum. The alcohol was the cleaning lace from me, not the drinking. But I was like, who would want this? And I texted Bianca and said, do you want this 2 litres of alcohol and 1 litre of glue? And she was like, yes. So I've got a bag because I've got to take her house tomorrow.
Well, we heard you had a garage sale going on. Did you meet any weirdos? Were they all trying to buy your sequins?
Oh, yeah, but that's what it's all about. You know, it's really weird. So those of you at home who aren't following my Instagram story, I had a massive drag sale. And I was moving out of my apartment, and I was like, well, I don't live here anymore. I'm just going to post my address on the internet. It's such a weird feeling. Even though I intellectually are new, I was like, you shouldn't post your address.
No.
It's not going to end well. But it did end well. I just had a whole bunch of, you know, lovely fans come along and buy Courtney artifacts. And, yeah, it was a really fun few hours, just having, like, 20 or 30 people in my home at the time wandering around rummaging through my thing.
Well, I did get excited and I tried to convince my husband to get me a plane ticket out of this country so I could attend, but sorry,
you missed it.
I'll just wait for eBay. There'll be something on eBay soon.
Courtney, you walked away winner of UK Celebrity Big Brother, and it was great getting to know Shane, showing the world that there was, you know, a real person underneath Courtney Act, the entertainer. Was it a surprise to win as Shane, being an LGBTIQ advocate?
I mean, it was Celebrity Big Brother Year of the Woman, because it's 100 years since some women, white women, got the right to vote in the UK. And from the very beginning, I was like, well, I'm not a woman. I shouldn't win this year of Celebrity Big Brother. A woman should win. And it came down to myself and Anne Whittacombe, a conservative politician who in 23 years of parliament voted against every single piece of pro-LGBT legislation that ever came before her. She was against abortion, she's for capital punishment, she's against climate change. Like, you couldn't pick two that were further apart. And when it came down to her and I was like, I know I'm not a woman, but I have to win because Andy simply does not represent women in 2018. And I was just so grateful that when I came out of the house, one of the things I was celebrated for was those conversations, you know, with straight cis people about queer issues, and that people really appreciated and took the time to stop and listen, not just in the house, but, you know, at home watching it on telly or on YouTube or however they saw it.
They did. Shane, look, you did us really proud, and that's what I was going to say. You know, sitting here on the other side of the world, we all watch those conversations, and, you know, congratulations, well done.
Aw, thank you. It was so much fun.
Look, we are here to talk about, we've all now just watched the first few episodes of this fantastic show, The Bi Life. So, look, we don't want to give away any spoilers for those who haven't caught up with it yet, but can you tell us about the show? You know, is it like a bachelor setup, or, you know, is it experts setting up social experiments, or is it just a bunch of hot, pretty Brit people, you know, making a mess of Barcelona?
Look, there is a lot of hot, pretty Brit people, but the thing that I like about it is building in a villa together, kind of like Love Island. I'm like the queer Sophie Monk, really, aren't I? Living in a villa in Barcelona, but there's no prize, there's no competition, no one's competing for money, and therefore, you know, hopefully not likely to do things for the sake of winning.
So with no one winning or getting voted out as such, how does that change the dynamic? Do you become a lot closer than, say, you would have in another reality show where there is a winner?
Well, it just means that everybody's sort of there to serve themselves and like, serve, might sound corny, serve their hearts. Well, maybe their whole, but, you know, they're, yeah. they're you know, to have a good time and to have fun and to celebrate. And when that competition aspect's removed, it's actually really nice because no one's competing. So nobody needs to win. There's no competition. I know that sounds obvious, but it really, I think it really translates in the bylaw.
I think you really get to see the characters, or you get to see the real them. They're not trying to play a character. So I think it does come across. Look, it's not all just about hot bodies and orgies. There are some very touching moments that do shine a light on issues affecting the LGBTQ community. We won't give too much away, but we do meet a potential date from Australia called Adam. Oh, my God. Who thinks that because the young lady might be bisexual, he gets all excited.
And
and then all of a sudden when she says, oh, are you bi as well? Well, he has a heart attack. He thinks automatically he's going to get a threesome. and it is a difference, I think, for...
I know. Bless Adam.
He was hot.
He was hot, but he was just like, oh, yeah, you're bisexual. Yeah. Oh, yeah. If you want to bring other women into the bedroom, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, that's not what I was talking about. No. And that's, you know, that's the reality of something that bisexual women face so often, is being fetishized by straight men like that.
Mm. And the same then for bi men. I think that you know, straight women look at them a lot differently. You know, you could see that as well with one of the dates there, I believe, with Ryan. You know, you could see the shock in her eyes at the beginning.
I noticed you remembered Ryan's name, but you couldn't remember Daisy's name.
Mm. Well, I'm going to say, look, Daisy was lovely. She had the best boobs I've ever seen in my life. So I'm going to say Daisy was thing. Look, they were all hot, but...
Ryan had the best boobs ever as well, quite frankly.
Courtney, we've got, is it a 40-something, I can't think of the exact percentage, of people don't identify as either straight or gay as such. So how important is this show in terms of breaking down those barriers and getting bisexuality out there in the media?
It's so important. And I think, look, the reality is, like, maybe we needed the binary for so long. Like, I've grown up in the gay community in Sydney, you know, as a gay man. And then as the conversation evolved and as these new ideas and concepts sort of came to light about things maybe not needing to be binary, I realized that those things suited my identity a lot more. And it was the term genderqueer that really helped me embrace my gender identity. It was just hearing somebody in pop culture talk about the idea that gender didn't have to be binary that set me free. And then hearing the term pansexual and realizing that that you could be attracted to men and that you could be attracted to other genders as well. And, you know, I'm not wandering down the street looking at women saying like, oh, yeah, I want to stick it in her. But I have, you know, had intimate relations with women, cis and trans, Leith Ashley, Jamie Wilson, some of my, like, Instagram crushes are both hot trans men. And I'm not going to limit my sexuality just because I'm supposed to. I'm going to think people are attractive and have attractions and romantic and or sexual relations with them because that's how I feel. And I think in that study, they also asked people the question, if someone came along and they happened to be a different sex than the one you're attracted to, but, like, they ticked all the boxes and, you know, you were attracted, you found this attraction to them, how would you feel about that? And most people are like, yeah, it's unlikely, but I guess it makes sense if that happened, then I'd go with it. And I think there's just really no room for that idea or concept. And I think the idea of bisexuality and fluid sexuality opens that up for people to, you know, have more experiences and have more honest experiences. And I just think that's important. And I think, you know what, more than anything, I think it helps to break down the rigid confines of the heterosexual identity, and especially in heterosexual men. I think if we can start to tease out the edges of heterosexual male identity, then that can only be a good thing for everybody.
And it's being attracted to the person as opposed to being attracted based on a label.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's how my sexuality evolved. I mean, for some bisexual people, it's very much, you know, men, women, this reason, that reason. But for some bisexual people, it's different, and there's all these other terms. Like, for me, the term pansexual feels more comfortable for the way I identify. It just means that I'm attracted to the person, the individual, rather than the gender. And that's kind of how I feel. But it means different things to different people, and it can, whatever your sexuality is, I think the most important message is whoever you're attracted to and however you're attracted to them, that's correct and appropriate.
Well done,
as
thank
long
you.
As it's between two consenting adults.
Courtney, back to the bi life. What are the different roles that Courtney plays and Shane plays in the series?
Well, Courtney's there for the party, and Shane gives the advice. And now it's not because Courtney doesn't give good advice. It's just because I'm usually wearing sequins and sparkles, and it's too distracting for anybody to listen when I'm Courtney. They're just taken in by the physical display that is before them.
You shined in pink. You looked lovely coming out as Courtney. And you're right. And poor
Thanks
Shane plays the fairy godmother, I'll say. Oh. He's the shoulder to cry on. Yeah.
Yeah.
Courtney, thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. You can catch The Bi-Life 7 p.m. Tuesdays on E, or you can stream the same day on Hayu as well.
Thank you so much for talking
to us. Thanks, guys. Lovely to chat to you.
Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. We love you here. See you soon.
Love you, guys.
Wake up with Tom and Warren, Thursdays for breakfast on Joy. Tune in to 94.9 in Melbourne. Stream live at joy.org.au or download the Joy app. Available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes, or your favourite podcasting platform. Joy Podcasts, where you want them, when you want them.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.